What's the first thing that comes in your mind when the word toxic workplace comes out?
The first thing that comes to mind is really, you know, backstabbing, politicking, lack of camaraderie, lack of teamwork, and essentially a lack of trust, whether it's from management or whether it's from your other colleagues.
Hmm.
If you don't trust your colleagues or management to do things which you need for you to actually do your job, then essentially that you wouldn't want to go to work in that kind of workplace.
And how about you, Kenrick? Are there any experiences that you had previously in your workplaces?
Yeah, definitely. So one of the defining traits of a toxic workplace that I've actually experienced is really the lack of trust. Having someone who is always constantly micromanaging me. I go to work every single day, looking over my shoulders just to make sure that I'm doing my job right, in a way that doesn't have anyone, you know, criticize me for it. So really having to look over my shoulders all the time was really a painful experience.
Okay. And I guess, were there any situation where you addressed it to a leader or a management of the company that, you know, this is a toxic environment that I'm working in?
But if it's already a toxic environment, how can you address it, right?
I mean, you can have it's a two-way conversation, right? I mean, you can always be very upfront and honest about how you feel at that current workplace and whether it's also for them to listen and address your concerns, right?
In a toxic workplace, I think what actually happens is that everything probably will get swept under the rug. There'll be a lack of communication either way because there is no trust involved in that conversation or that relationship that you have with colleagues or with management, right?
Mm.
So with that kind of work environment, essentially it happens because nothing gets addressed.
So it's collectively the entire company that is lack of trust that makes it a toxic workplace.
Yeah, you don't trust the company to actually do something about your concerns, whether they're legit or not. They should at least address it so that people can trust that someone will actually take action for something that's concerning you and stopping you from actually doing your job well.
What if you're working in a workplace that, you know, you really love your job and you really like what you're doing and what you're contributing to, you know, what you're doing and the community that you're working for, but your colleagues or that environment does not allow you to thrive. So you're kind of, I want to stay here, but the people around me are not helping me make this place a great place to work, for example.
Why don't you share your experience, Lufa?
I think it really is dragging yourself to work and that you don't have that motivation to do what you want to do or contribute to the work that you want to do anymore. You just become disengaged. So I think that's what working in a toxic workplace for me is. And based on my experience, I had bosses who were very, cutthroat, that they wouldn't even, I mean, before coming to work at Great Place to Work, the workplace culture never came in mind as an important part of your day-to-day work, right? It's a time where I think if you get a job, you're lucky. Just stick to it or you'll get fired, right?
Yeah.
For it. There's no avenue to talk about, oh, how do I feel coming to work? What does this environment does for me? So I think toxic workplaces is a very important conversation to have with your leaders or management if you want to continue working in that environment. Because like, I agree with you, Kenrick, like you say, it's a two-way conversation, right? Everyone has their different work style, but it's so easy to just blame on someone and say, oh, but I should be doing, you know, you should do this, you should work this way. And this is how I work, it's faster, it's easier. But we never understand how the other colleague of ours is, what they're going through on their day-to-day basis. And maybe they lack certain skills or they lack certain information or understanding of a certain task that is challenging them and they're not voicing that out. So it's very easy to jump into conclusions and just call it a toxic workplace where something can be resolved easily by having a two-way conversation.
I think on top of one thing, that two-way conversation, definitely want someone, or rather you want both parties to be open to understand each other.
Yeah.
I think you can have that conversation, but if one party is disengaged and it's just there to, you know, just to ramble on and not want to listen and not want to change, I think that it's going to be quite difficult as well. And that keeps your environment at a very toxic level. It doesn't really help. So I think one thing for sure is to have that initiative or really have that proactiveness to want to communicate the struggles that you have. And the other is to also be receptive, right? To know that not everyone is clear of any faults. I think definitely we individually have our own blind spots that perhaps are the very factors that other people are basing their mistrust on.
Yeah.
Right. So I think having that openness to want to have that conversation and to learn from the conversation is important in building a stronger culture, in, you know, preventing, you know, things from getting more wayward in a toxic workplace.
Thank you for sharing. Speaking of toxic workplaces, let's hear it from Evelyn and Christian from TC Acoustic. Before we continue, let's take a moment to hear from our sponsor, DHL Express Singapore. DHL, the world's leading logistics company, is leading the charge towards a more sustainable future with a goal of achieving net zero emissions by 2050. In Singapore, DHL's Go Green Plus solutions helps businesses to reduce their carbon emissions through the use of sustainable aviation fuel. Derived from renewable sources such as used cooking oil, DHL is also expanding their electric vehicle fleet rapidly to ensure greener last-mile deliveries. Join DHL on their sustainability journey. Learn more at dhl.com/discover/en-sg. Welcome to the podcast series by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. Join us as we explore current workplace trends and issues through conversations with industry leaders. Listen to their views and experiences that are shaping our workplaces today.
Hello and welcome to the Great Place to Work podcast. Today we have with us a special guest, and we're going to dive into this topic around toxic workplaces. Toxic workplaces. This is a topic that comes up so often, whether is it on national media, on social media, in conversations amongst family and friends. Just this week alone, I must have had 3 conversations with relatives, with my sisters, with friends who talk about their work experiences and who talk about how toxic workplaces have come to a place where people expect it to be a norm, to be a given. Should it be a given? Should great workplaces be the exception and toxic workplaces be the norm? Or should it be the other way around? I'm really happy to have with me today, this morning, a special guest to speak about this topic and what they have done in the organization to build a strong, positive and engaging workplace culture. Welcome, Chris.
Hey, thank you, Evelyn, for having me.
No, we love to have you. Chris, could you just introduce yourself a little bit?
Yes, my name is Chris. And as you probably can see, I was not born in Singapore. I'm a Swiss and I was forced to move to Singapore 20 years ago.
Tell us about why you were forced.
Yeah, I wish it was, I was headhunted as a talent, but my girlfriend said that she will never move to Switzerland and I have to move to Singapore.
Oh.
So I obeyed and I moved to Singapore and it worked out. We are still married, happily married, 2 kids. And yeah, I get to run TC Acoustic. We are a distributor for audio products like Sonos, Marshall, Bowen, Wilkins, Klipsch. We represent those brands here in Singapore, but also in Thailand, Malaysia, and in Hong Kong. The unique thing I think about our company is that we have 80 full-time employees and an average age of 27.
So Chris, you are not a stranger to Great Place to Work. We have had you join us in various capacities. And you have also spoke at the Great Place to Work event last year about how you attract millennials. And I was just telling you that your segment, when you spoke 15 minutes about how you attract and engage young people, was so well received. Until today, I have got different ones say that segment was the best, right?
Oh, well, thank you.
You know, so which is why you're back here today. And I think that we'd love to hear you give a masterclass around what does it mean to build a great workplace culture. But first, is this something that you have seen around in your conversations with young people or even people around you? What is your understanding of what toxic workplaces is?
Well, when I got the invitation to come here and speak on this podcast, of course, I Googled a little bit. And I must say, CNA recently published a really good article about toxic workplaces. And I mean, it very often constitutes certain dynamics that may persist in the company. You know, work dynamics of that everybody, we're just getting it all done. It doesn't matter how many hours we work every day. Because startups, right, they need to become ready to sell on the stock market or to investors. And that was really the number one value, and everything falls under that. It creates certain dynamics. And other places, maybe it's not a top-down culture, but maybe certain managers, their value system is very different. And that creates toxicity. I mean, I was very shocked to read that managers can use swear words, curse words.
They're more often than you know. And you're shocked because maybe Chris, that's just not the kind of culture you have in your organization.
Yes, that's definitely not the culture that we have in our organization.
Well, you are our best workplace. You are number one best workplace for the last 2 years. That's why you are number one best workplace. But could you maybe unpack a little bit around what kind of work environment and culture does TC have?
Well, what kind of a work environment does TC have? It's a very intentional work environment that we have. So, you know, sometimes people talk about steps to take to create a great workplace or to kind of, prevent.
I get things. That all the time. They want us to give them a three-step process, a three-step formula to build great workplaces.
Yes.
So you are number one for the last 2 years. Tell us your three-step formula.
Okay, the three-step formula is actually... is one conviction, which is culture above policies. We really believe that in order to have a great supportive work environment, the culture is everything. It's culture is more important than rules, codes of conduct, rules, steps, because the culture permeates everything in your organization. So what is culture? Well, culture is basically the sum of all our shared values together. So culture can be a good thing. A culture must be cultivated. Culture must be protected. So how do we cultivate culture? Very important. When we first started the company, or when I first came into the company, we just had a handful of employees, and it was very easy because we see each other all the time, and the values, they're kind of not really defined, but we have them. They are in the room. But then we started growing, and we realized that, hey, some of our staff, they don't really follow the values that me and the owners share. So I had one day I had a call from a retailer and said, take this account manager off my account. And I'm like, why? He said he swears and curses at my staff. And I'm like, huh? This is happening in our company? So we did an exercise. We defined all our values. So we said, hey, number one value, people above profit. Then we said, leadership is a value. Care is a value. Team is a value. And we were so excited. We launched it to the whole company. The next day, we had employees resigning.
Oh, wow.
Because they said, we do not agree with these values. So the first thing we do to cultivate our culture, we make it very clear what is the values that we want to see in our company and what is the values that get you, you know, to leave our company. The other way how we cultivate this culture is we have a bi-weekly culture town hall. It's the most expensive meeting of the week because every staff, every manager in Singapore, everybody comes to one room. The staff from overseas, they zoom in. And then the leaders, they will talk about their people that they caught living out our values. So every 2 weeks, we talk about one, two, or three staff that have been living out the value system that we that we celebrate. So, you know, it becomes reinforcing. People get inspired. Wow, this staff did that. Amazing. I can do this too. And it also becomes a teaching of this is what we like in our company. Training. We do a lot of training for the managers because the leaders, they can make or break your company, right? The leaders are the ones setting the tone, setting the culture. So we have training, how to be a manager, how to take care of your staff, what are the needs of the staff, how to set KPI. So what we do is we cultivate the culture, but we also protect the culture. So what do we talk about protecting, right? Very important, who do you let into your company? We always hire for skills and we fire for character. I've seen that many times.
Hire for skills, fire for character.
Yes. Okay. So we just look at the skill set and then we hire the person. But one person can literally dilute your culture or destroy your culture. If you have one manager coming in and the manager has a different value system, the culture will all go, you know, will all go crazy. But really, who you let into your company is very important. So your HR need to be very sharp in, you know, knowing.
So if I could just summarize what I hear that TC is doing and what you're doing is, I love how you, and you obviously given us more than three steps, right? But you talk about how culture needs to be intentional.
Yes.
Culture needs to be cultivated.
Yes.
And culture needs to be protected.
Yes.
So in intentional, what you have done is you have defined what values work in the business.
Yes.
And being intentional means including equipping and training your leaders to be able to live out those behaviors. It also means having your bi-weekly town halls to spotlight and to celebrate and to recognize behaviors that align with the value. So that is being intentional. You talk about being cultivated. So those training, those recognition sessions are what you mean by cultivation and protected. HR needs to be very sharp. HR needs to be able to hire the right people, but also not afraid to fire people who after coaching may not align with the values. Because this is you protecting your culture of what TC Acoustics stands for.
That's right.
Yep. So intentional, cultivating and protecting. Very, very very wise but very nicely encapsulated.
Yeah.
How would you tell, you know, what is toxicity? So I have this struggle, right? And I talk about great workplaces and we preach the importance of building great workplaces. And therefore, we understand the signs of a toxic workplace includes things like verbal abuse, not being inclusive, being disrespectful. These are all the different behaviors around toxicity. And there are real instances where people, and we'll talk about effects of toxic workplaces. But I've also seen instances where sometimes employers can be very quick. You know, everything that does not go their way or there might be a roadblock or difficulties, as all workplaces would have, is being labeled as toxic workplace or toxic bosses. And sometimes I see that on TikTok, on Instagram, and I often ask myself, at what point does someone tell if this is toxic or just a case where I face a roadblock? How am I able to tell those signs? Can you enlighten us on that?
Well, I'm not sure whether I'm the expert on it, but some things that we have learned. I think it's very important to differentiate between a toxic environment and the wrong fit. Sometimes we go into workplaces and you know, especially here in Singapore, and I think maybe it's also globally a thing, we are very brand conscious. Like Chinese New Year. Oh, where are you going to work? Oh, I'm working for Apple and Google. And all the relatives go, wow, you must be so capable. You're in all these companies. So we are very brand conscious. But I think one thing about this is sometimes we forget that it's actually not about the brand of the company, but it's about, are you a good fit to the company? Like if you are a person, you like stability, you like process, you like predictability, you probably shouldn't join a startup because a startup by the mere culture is unpredictable, unstructured, last minute, so strategy changes every other week. So if you join a startup, and even if the startup has a very good culture, you might be the wrong fit. Totally, you know, if you go into audit, and it shouldn't be this way, but I've never met an auditor who doesn't do OT. It's a predictable environment, yeah, but yeah. Hey, auditors is long hours. So if you're not the type, you cannot go into an audit company and say, well, we need to finish this audit and it's a toxic environment. No, it's the nature of the job. So I think we need to very much be able to differentiate environment, or am I the right fit for this environment, and what is really toxic? Like, even in our company, we had this staff, and he was a great IT staff. And especially when we first started, we were implementing a lot of IT systems. He was a young staff, fresh grad, and we gave him all the freedom to implement all these systems, and he did a great job. But then we became stable. We didn't need new IT systems anymore, but we needed to maintain and to train. And that was not his strength. So from our star player, he became the person who makes mistakes all the time, and I could see his morale suffering. So I talked to him and I said, hey, look, I think we are not the right place for you. You need to go into an environment where you can implement new IT systems all the time. You need to work for our IT vendor. So actually, we contacted our IT vendor and talked to the IT vendor, and our staff actually got a job at this IT vendor.
That's really good.
And he's doing really well now. So it was a matter of, were we a toxic environment? No. I mean, I would say so. No, yeah. I think not. But he was kind of the wrong fit.
That's really food for thought, Chris, because what it tells me, especially with young organizations, they evolve and they go through different phases. And employees and even leaders, our leadership style, our work style, needs to evolve and grow as a business grow. And for some of us, that growth can happen because perhaps our talent teams, you know, our strengths, we can adapt to flow. For some of us, our skill set or talent teams, it may not evolve with the business cycle. And it is okay, right? It is okay for us to understand in this season, perhaps my competencies, my values, or my preferred work style may not align with where the business is. And let's look at another place without having to jump into label everything as toxic, right?
Yeah, that's right.
So that's really good. So we need to be able to differentiate between what's true toxicity, where there's disrespect, where there's continued and sustained abuse, where there is no recognition for the employee as a person. Right, yeah. Versus one where needs change, styles change, or competencies has no fit. So that ability to differentiate is important.
Yeah.
Now, if I could bring back to, again to TC, could you share with us, you talk about the policies that you have done as an organization to cultivate culture. What are some other steps you have taken to build a healthy and supportive work environment?
I think the aim is not to have a toxic environment. I think the aim is to build a company, an organization, a team where people can flourish, where people can be the best that they can be. Okay. That is the aim. So I have learned this from one of my mentors is a principle. We need to invite, include, and involve. So invite, include, and involve. So one thing that we do all the time with new staff, every time a new staff comes in, they think like, I need to prove myself. We sit them down and say, hey, look, the reason we hired you is we trust you. You don't need to prove yourself. I want you from day one to give your very best, to start contributing. And then we train the leaders and the managers and say, when you have a new staff, or like in our case, a young staff, you cannot think that young staff needs to prove themselves. The young staff needs to feel that we invite them, that we include them, that we involve them from day one. So
I've got to just pause you right there. That in itself is worth thousands of dollars in coaching. Because many times when new hires go into organizations, we all feel we need to prove ourselves, establish our credibility. It's a very natural mindset, but you are reframing it and being very articulate, explicit to tell the new hire, you have already proven because we've hired you. Contribute. We invite you to contribute. That reframing, I can imagine as a new hire, is especially if I'm a young person, can feel so empowering. And you can take away so much stress off my back. I really love that.
Yeah. So sometimes we have our leadership meetings, and we would literally ask the leaders and the managers, so in your meeting, who contributes? Is everybody speaking up? And then if people are not speaking up, the first conclusion is not, oh, the staff is not participating, but have you built the environment in your meeting that people feel safe to speak up?
This is such a big thing, right? In Singapore especially, you hear so many comments that people do not speak up. In meetings, people do not speak up. It is such a real struggle for organizations, for teams. You talk about the first question that we should ask is, as leaders, have you built the environment for people to feel safe? How would you tell us as leaders, if our people are not speaking up, how should I build that space to do that?
Well, on one hand, is it always helps to have a briefing on the expectation that, like, when new staff come in, sometimes we have interns coming in, and when I have new people in the meeting, I will tell them, hey, you know, I'm going to ask you an important question later on, and you need to feel free to speak up. I'm going to ask you, what do you think? Because I really want to know, what do you think?
So you prep the intern ahead of time.
Yeah, I will prep them ahead of time, because calling them out in the meeting is a scary thing, right? If your boss calls you out, what do you think? And like, I said, no, I prepare them. I say, hey, and everybody wants to know what you think.
This is so simple, but yet so powerful.
Yeah, it's simple. Yes, yeah.
That's amazing. All right, so one is to prepare them ahead of time.
And then sometimes we have projects like. There was one new product that we were launching, a really cool product for, you know, a young audience. So we pulled together all the staff that have worked for less than 1 year in our company. And we said, hey, you know what? You launched this product.
That's honestly, that's really brave. To give a really important brand new product and give it all those with less than 1 year of work experience with you.
Yeah.
What gives you the bonus and courage that they're going to do an okay job even?
Okay, so you would be surprised, because you see, the staff that have been with you for a long time, they have learned what works.
Yeah.
And they're going to stick to a certain lane because that has worked before.
Yeah.
But if you have staff that have only been in the company for like 9 months to 1 year, they have fresh thinking, they think differently. And then there is already this environment of, you know, one of our value is can-do attitude. That means whatever problem, we believe we can solve it in one way or another. There's already this environment of that encouragement, inviting, involving. So these people, they thrive on it.
In a day-to-day, right, the reality is, we all know when you run businesses, it's nothing is just rainbows and magic dust. There are problems, there are obstacles, there are conflicts between employees, there are personality clashes between bosses and their employees. Does this happen to TC, or you're insulated from all these real world issues?
Of course we're insulated.
That's why you're number one.
No. I guess the problem comes on a day-to-day. We are doing all our plans, and sometimes we plan that we think it's going to be all right. We can get all this done. But sometimes we decide we want to chew more than we can fit into our mouth, right? And that's when the problems happen, right? The problems never happen when it's business as usual. But every time you go up to another level, you have more to do, it becomes more intense. That's when you have
the friction and the conflicts, right, between employees and colleagues.
And friction is not always a bad thing, right? Stress is not always a bad thing. But when it's stress all the time, that is a bad thing. So for us, I think this is really the leadership's job. For us, we have a weekly leadership meeting. And one of the things that we talk about is people. And if any leader sees a staff not doing well or being stressed, the leaders are supposed to bring that up so that we as a leadership team, we can decide, do we need to send in more manpower? Do we need to restructure? Do we need to cancel some project? So it's a very deliberate effort. We cannot expect a manager to just do it themselves.
So I'm hearing, because weekly leadership meetings are common, most times those meetings are focused on operational matters. I'm hearing that in TC, it's a weekly leadership meetings with a focus on people and culture.
Yes.
And to look at how can we help and support our people to do their best work.
Yeah. Our secret sauce is people. We are not running an engineering company where we can just hire a few PhD holders and then they do a great job for us. Our secret sauce is we need people. People need to be at their best. Mm. And that's why culture is such a big thing to us. Mm. That's why on a weekly basis, managers need to say, leaders need to talk.
But how do you resolve in cases where the conflict or the clash or the friction is between leaders and their people? Right, that's where the struggles happened, where perhaps between supervisors and their team members, they don't see eye to eye, or they don't feel like the way they are being managed, or in some cases, they don't even dare to raise the fact that they are not comfortable with their leaders.
Yes. So finding out that somebody is not comfortable, we don't want to find that out once the person hands in the resignation letter. Mm. So on a quarterly basis, we have a survey that every staff does.
On a quarterly basis.
Mm. And there are some questions, and all our staff know this. Mm. There are some questions like, how likely or how do you see yourself working for TC in 2 years' time? Mm. And then you give a number. And we watch. If the number drops from quarter to quarter, I will personally meet the employee and find out what is going on, what is happening. And like I said, we only have 80 to 90 staff. We don't have 900. Yeah. So I can still do that.
Still very hands-on in engaging your people.
Yes, because we want to know if somebody feels like, hey, I want to resign or I don't see myself working for this company in 2 years' time, what is the reason? Why do you feel this way? Because maybe there's something that I need to know. And sometimes we really do find things and we can resolve it.
I feel from all your stories, Chris, that there is so much intention in what you do. So much clarity around who you want to be and how you want to achieve your business results. Mm. And that there is so much effort put in to listen to employees every quarter, and not just to listen, but to go down to understand what's bothering them, what's working well, what's not working well, and taking actions to close those steps. It's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. And I find that increasingly we are expecting a lot of our leaders. They are expected to deliver results. They're expected to be strategic. They're expected to be hands-on, to be detailed. They're expected to firefight. And they're expected to care for their people, to mentor their people, to coach their people. They're expected to play mediator. They're expected to take care of their people's well-being. That's a lot to ask. And if they come to a team where there's toxic workplace culture, may not be a doing of their own, it might be the larger culture, it might be their bosses up above them, it might be other peers who are toxic, and their people are feeling that. I feel that you're asking a lot of me. It feels tiring already. How do you do all this?
So I just would like to address this whole thing of it sounds like a lot. And that's why earlier on I said culture is so important, because culture will take care of a lot of this. You know, if our culture is right, many things really do fall into place.
So your first priority, it sounds to me like, is culture.
It's definitely culture.
Culture is not part of the agenda item.
No.
It's not an afterthought from business. It is not part of your others, but you kind of lay the foundation first.
Yes.
Really? Really?
Yes, yes. And honestly, I'm very blessed in a sense of I run the company. I get to run the company. And the owners of the company are very aligned on this. You see, I once read this quote that says, "What does it benefit a man if he wins the whole world but loses his soul?" Now, what is the soul of the company? The soul of the company are the people. So if we win all the market share, if we make a ton of profit, but ultimately our people suffer, that sounds wrong to me. And so whatever we do, it's not a checklist, but it kind of comes out of what we believe in, what we want to stand for. And sometimes we are not really aware what we stand for until a crisis happened. So recently, not recently, thank God, 4 years ago, when the whole pandemic happened, and you know, in Singapore, we had the circuit breaker, and it was an extremely stressful situation for us because like a huge percentage of all our revenue came from brick and mortar stores, and they were all closed. Mm. So in the morning, Tuesday morning, right, that was the first day of circuit breaker.
Oh yeah,
yes, yes, it was very vivid. So what happened is I got two emails from two large retailers, and they were basically saying, hey, you know what, for as long as there's circuit breaker, we are not going to process the money we owe you, the payment that is due to you.
On the very first day.
And they had taken inventory for the last 2 months. And to me, it was like, how can you do that? I'm like, why are you not processing payment? And so I called and they said, well, all our computers are in the office, so we cannot process the payment. And I'm like, for goodness sake, you sell laptops. But you know, it was a very self-preserving action. And then a few hours later, I got a call. And one of the owners called me and said, Christian, it's circuit breaker. I said, yeah, I know it's circuit breaker. He said, so we have all these part-time employees, students. They go into the stores and they assist in selling. He said, all these people, they cannot work because the stores are closed. I said, yes. He said, Christian, you got to keep paying them.
Wow.
They need this salary. And I'm like, okay, this morning I got all these emails. It's a difficult situation. And he said, no, we are four people. And these people, they have been faithful to us. We need to pay them. So it was an incredible moment. And then when we had Zoom calls with all these part-timers, some of them literally started to cry because their parents are Grab drivers. And then I also want to cry already. But yeah, I guess COVID was really one of the best and worst times. And but you see, it comes out. What is inside of you in pressure when it gets tough, it comes out. And so whatever we do, it is not rocket science. Like building a great place to work, it is not rocket science, but it has to come out of you, who you are, who you want to stand for, what you want to stand for. So if you're business owners, if you're managers, there's always something you can do to make your place a better place to work. And like I said, not rocket science. It's maybe it's not easy, but everybody can do it.
Thank you so much, Christian. Nothing rocket science, you are right. Nothing
yes.
rocket science, but it boils down to the heart, you know, the heart of the issue, and that we get to be a blessing and a great influence on all these lives that are entrusted to us.
Yes. Thank you, Evelyn. Thank you for having me.
This podcast is brought to you by Great Place to Work, ASEAN and ANZ. At Great Place to Work, we transform workplaces through our unique culture and certification program. We promote a future of work that is inclusive and fulfilling, inspiring organizations to build cultures of trust, collaboration, and engagement. Tune in to our next episode and stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Let's shape truly great workplaces.